I'm Steve Kraske, and this is KCUR's Up to Date. Teen suicide is on the rise across the country, but news that Johnson County saw 8 young people take their own lives last year was a shock. One city is working to get in front of the surge by having students complete a mental health survey. Today, the counseling coordinator in charge of the initiative explains how it works and what results it's seen so far. Then, can a golf course in the urban core help rebuild a community? We'll ask a man who's trying to do just that in Kansas City's Ivanhoe neighborhood. Not only does he want to introduce kids to golf, he wants to change mindsets in and out of the inner city. We'll get you up to date after this hour's news. Suicide rates are rising all over the U.S., but teen suicide rates seem especially bad. Not only is suicide the second highest cause of death among 10 to 34-year-olds, but there are 3,000 suicide attempts by young people every day in this country. In Kansas, suicide rates are up 45% since 1999, and the state now has the 19th highest suicide rate in the nation. But the Olathe school system has a new mental health initiative in place this year that they say is already saving lives. Today we're joined by Angie Saliva. She's a counseling coordinator for the Olathe school system. Angie, it's nice to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, Steve.
So what is the new initiative? Tell us about it.
The new initiative is called SOS Signs of Suicide. It is a program that we chose based off of research that reduces suicide rates among young people up to 64%. Hmm. And so when we heard about this program, we were intrigued by it. What this program does, it has two components. It has an educational component and then a self-screening component. Mm-hmm. With the educational component, we teach students warning signs, what to look for in themselves or what to look for in their friends. And we also teach our students the acronym ACT, which stands for Acknowledge, Care, and Tell. We want our students, when they see that a friend is hurting, to acknowledge that to their friend and let them know that they see that they are hurting. We also want them to express care and get that student to somebody who can help them. And that's what the T for Tell is to let our students know that they don't have to take on this burden themselves, that they can share it with a trusted adult, and that they should share this with a trusted adult. And then at that point, the adult takes over.
You know, when you have these classes, do kids pay attention, Angie? Are they listening? Because this is not like a geography lesson here. This is something very different.
It's funny because we had students when we started out this, they would tell us, oh, we already know all this. But by the end of our lessons, they were saying, yeah, this is pretty good, or I didn't know this. And I had one student say, yeah, we've got it. You've pounded this into our head. And my response is, great. When we have no students die by suicide, then I will know that everybody has gotten that message.
I gather that other school systems around the nation are also using the same program?
This is a program that is endorsed by our mental health associations and by suicide prevention agencies. So it is. It's a commercial program. It is available to school districts nationwide. It is a cost, obviously, and that might defer some schools from doing it. But I think it is the screening program that is somewhat scary for districts, and it was scary for us when we first heard about it as well.
Why is it scary?
The scary part about a self-screening program is that you want to make sure that when you find out who your students who are at risk are, that you have ways of responding to them and that you have professionals available right then and there to help.
And because you have kids take a test, a lot of kids are taking it. There might be a lot of kids who say, I need help.
Correct. The Signs of Suicide program let us know ahead of time that we should expect about 12% of our students to request and need help. Well, in our 2,000-person high schools, that's over 240 students. And so when you think about that number, and when you think about the number of mental health staff that we have stationed at our schools, we knew that that would be too overwhelming for just our five school-based people to handle. So we had to partner with our community, and we had to ask for therapists to come in and help us on the day that we implemented our self-screener for our students. And that's one of the other components. So our students take a seven-question self-screener. It's just yes or no questions. Mm-hmm. And when a student answers those questions, they are then directed to an explanation of what their responses mean. And then they are given a card. So they don't turn in the self-screener. They turn in a card. On that card, it says, I want to talk to somebody today, or I want to talk to somebody today about a friend, or I want to talk to somebody this week about myself, or I want to talk to somebody this week about a friend, or I do not need to talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. The student then signs either by putting their student ID number or their name on it, and we immediately go to work and we sort those cards and we start talking to students.
Did you say a few minutes ago, Angie, that the national rate of kids self-reporting suicidal thoughts was 12%?
12%.
And I'm curious what it was in Olathe then.
So in our five comprehensive high schools, we had three high schools that were below that average, and we had one that was right at that average, 12%, and we had one high school that was above that at 14%.
So you're in the neighborhood.
We are in the neighborhood. When you average the five high schools, we're right at about that 12%.
So when you do the self-screening test and you bring in additional counselors on that day so that if kids say they need help, there's someone there for them to talk to. How did that work? How did it play out?
It worked out really well. We had super support from Johnson County Mental Health. KVC was there. Resolve sent a therapist. And College Church of the Nazarene, which is located in Olathe, all sent us people to help us out on those days. We had anywhere from 20 to 26 additional therapists that day on staff.
Wow.
Which is amazing because all of those people gave up a day of work. Actually, they gave up 5 days of work because we have five comprehensive high schools and to come and do this with us.
And were they all busy that day?
We were busy. We were very busy that day.
And what do you think the impact was then? Did you save some lives that day?
Absolutely, we saved lives. We sent students to hospitalization at each and every one of those implementation days.
No kidding.
And so, absolutely.
Inpatient or outpatient?
Inpatient.
Inpatient centers around Johnson County.
Yes. Yeah. So absolutely, we saved lives that day. In addition, we opened up the conversation. And I think that that's one of the more powerful things that came out of the day is that students are now talking about it. Students are self-reporting and reporting their friends at rates that they weren't before. And we're getting our parents and our community involved as well.
So what do you think this program does to the whole idea of stigma here? You know, when I was a kid, and someone was talking about suicide, you know, there was a certain way you began to look at that student in the, you know, months to come. What's happened to that stigma in the years since? And what's it like today?
Stigma is still present, and it is something that we need to get away from. Mental health is like any other physical ailment, and we need to address it, and we need to talk about it. And students or anybody who expresses suicidal ideation, they more than likely have an underlying mental health condition that can be treated.
You know, my sense is the younger generation is so much more open and willing to be accepting of others who are struggling with issues like this.
They are. Our younger generation is much more open.
Remarkable in some ways.
Correct, yeah. Correct. And they are very good about understanding that mental health is something that can be helped when you have a mental illness, that can be something that can be treated. It is more our adults that we struggle with. Our students are letting us know that, hey, I'm really struggling and I need help. When we make calls to the parents, a lot of times that's who we really need to work with to understand that your student needs help just like they would if it was a physical illness. This is not about you. It doesn't mean that you have done anything wrong. This is something organic, and it's something that can be treated, but we need to address it.
If you're just joining us this morning, you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. We're talking about teen suicide, a new program that's been implemented in the Olathe school system that's helping identify kids who might be struggling. If you have questions for Angie Saliva and you want to join our conversation, of course, you can do it. 816-235-2888 is our phone number, or you can tweet us at KCUR up to date. I'm wondering about the questions, the seven questions.
Yes.
Questionnaire that these students took. It didn't take very long to fill out seven responses, or is it pretty quick?
No, it's very quick. It's 2 to 3 minutes.
Is all
that it takes. We do have the form in English and in Spanish, so it can be in a student's native language as well. For students who speak other languages, we have their teachers help them with it, and that's something that's very important. The implementation of that screener doesn't take long at all. And immediately, once we start receiving the cards from the students, we're busy sorting those cards. We want to make sure that any student who asks for help gets seen on the day that they want to be heard.
And that's a big change,
it's
right?
A big
that immediacy is something we're seeing.
It's a big change.
This has been such a big issue in Kansas and in Johnson County. We're seeing this response now.
It is. And some of the research that's coming out now is telling us that with our young people, suicide attempts come within 5 minutes of impulse. And so we want to make sure, because we know teens are impulsive by nature, that we are meeting their needs as quickly as we can. And that's just another way we can show them that we care as well. By they fill out that they want to see somebody, okay, right away, let's get you to somebody to talk with.
Well, I'm wondering about how you measure effectiveness of something like this. You know, you said you've spotted a number of kids who might have been suicidal on the day they filled out the questions, but you know, it's hard to measure suicides that have been prevented. I mean, so how do you know if this is the right way to go for Olathe?
It is, because it gets our students talking, it gets our community talking, and we hope to not have any deaths by suicide in the Olathe School District this year.
That's the goal.
That absolutely, 100% is the goal. It's hard to know how many students may have attempted who, as a result of the education and as a result of everybody taking a look and caring for one another, we prevented that. That, like you said, Steve, that is really difficult to measure. But we want our outcome is no suicides in the Olathe District or in the Johnson County, Greater Kansas City metro area.
Let's go to some phone calls here to 816-235-2888. You can tweet us again at KCUR up to date. Let's go to Mary from Trumbull, Missouri. Mary, good morning.
Good morning. I have a family friend whose 15-year-old son committed suicide last week.
I'm sorry.
And his parents found on his desk, on top of his billfold, was his rosary and his glasses, but a school book open to the chapter on suicide. Just wonder, are they so suggestible? Or
is that a concern here, you know, as you look at all this, Angie?
Yeah. Research tells us the exact opposite, Mary, and I'm so sorry for your loss.
Yeah, absolutely.
Research tells us that talking about suicide actually is a preventer of suicide. Asking somebody directly, are you having thoughts of suicide? And if they answer yes, then asking them, do you have a plan? And then if they say they have a plan, when do you plan to carry that out? All of those things actually help a person and helps prevent the act from actually being carried out. Suicide, the research does not suggest at all that by talking about it or by reading about it, it brings on the impulse. If somebody has suicidal ideation, it is already present. So I'm not sure that was a contributing factor in that instance. Like I said, research tells us that talking about it, reducing the stigma, and letting people know that they can get help and that we are willing to help them get help is really the best thing.
That is reassuring.
Yeah, I appreciate your phone call, Mary. That was a good question. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet. Again, our number 816-235-2888, or tweet us at KCUR up to date. You know, I'm wondering about the causes of teen suicide and what we know about that, Angie, because it seems like these days you read one study that suggests one thing, you read a different study, and it says something completely different when it comes to the causes of all this.
Yes, Steve. We know that research is all over the map on it. One interesting thing that I think, it starts in 2012 when the majority of the people in the United States had access to cell phones and to social media. And at that point in time, you'll see the rates of suicide go up. And I don't know if, I would never say that there's a cause, and research doesn't suggest that. But it gets me wondering about, are we becoming more socially isolated as a result of all of our connectivity, or are we losing some personal touch? But research is all over the map about causation on suicide, and I don't think that there's anything that is definitive to say that this, if we did this, it would 100% prevent it.
Yeah. Let's go back to some calls here. And Teresa from Stillwell, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. My question is, why is there an increase in teen suicide? It seems in the last maybe 10 years, if not shorter, there just seems to be an increase in teen suicide. I mean, when I was younger, of course, it was rare to hear of a teenager committing suicide. So I'm just curious to know why the increase.
No, we were talking about that, Angie, and I'm wondering about maybe a different factor we haven't talked about yet, marijuana.
Yes. It's interesting, Teresa, because we don't really have an answer to your question, and I wish we did. Our teenage substance use and abuse is high as well. We do know that a student who uses drugs, that is a risk factor. And with the increase in marijuana and the increase in vaping, we're seeing a lot of that in our schools as well.
Could vaping be connected to this?
You know, it's hard to know because research is doesn't say anything.
It's like saying smoking cigarettes might be a cause of it, and you would wonder about
right,
that.
Right, yeah. Right. But vaping, it's not just that students are vaping tobacco. They're putting lots of different things in their e-cigarettes as well. And so all of that, I think, is something that we have to look at and be concerned about.
But one factor here is we haven't had enough research done on illegal drugs,
right,
and then marijuana to really have a good sense. At least I've read that as well.
Right, right. I don't know that we know at this point in time. So, Teresa, that's a really good question, and I don't think there's a great or a one-word answer to it.
Preventing Suicide in the Olathe School District. That's our conversation here this morning. 816-235-2888. Barb from Olathe. Barb, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
My question is, I hear you talking about this being a high school that you are implementing this in. And what I'm wondering is this something that will later be implemented in junior high school as well, or is it something that's just targeted for the high school age student?
Great question, Barb.
Barb, it is targeted for our high school population, but we do suicide prevention at the middle school as well. We just came off Suicide Prevention Week, which was in September, and we had a large variety of activities for our middle school students. If we may at some point in time do the self-screener in our middle level, but right now we are really focusing on our middle schools and working on their coping skills, on their ability to be gritty and resilient, on their ability to help their friends and to self-report and to know when they can seek help, and just to make them aware of their feelings about when they are sad and that persists over a period of time, how they need to get help for themselves or somebody else. But it is a good program, but it is targeted for high school, and that's where we have rolled it out. But we do focus suicide prevention very actively in our middle schools. And we don't talk about suicide in our elementaries as much, but again, focus on some of those soft skills and in building our kids' social-emotional skills as a prevention tool as well.
Along those lines, what is the typical age that a teenager will commit suicide? Are there numbers out on that?
We know it's the second leading cause of death for all students aged 10 through 14. So that is our upper elementary and then into our middle level. It's also about the same for our high school students as well. In the Olathe district, our students who have died by suicide have tended to be older students, although we've had attempts in our elementaries as well.
Even in elementary school?
Yes.
Ouch. I'm also was curious about the questionnaire that students in Olathe fill out, these 7 questions. To what extent did students take it seriously? Did you have some who were just fooling around with it?
In any large high school, you're always going to have you're going to get somebody who doesn't take it as seriously as others. We kind of got them, though, because those students who didn't take it seriously, we called them in. And we had them talk with a mental health professional, and they'd walk in and go, well, I didn't put my name on it, or I just wrote something silly, you know, to impress my friend.
They fessed up pretty quickly.
Yeah, they did. And we said, great, we want to check on you and make sure that you're okay.
Let's go to Lisa from Prairie Village. Lisa, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. I know that there is a correlation in the adult population between suicide rates and access to firearms, and I didn't know if the speaker had seen any data that shows that same correlation in the adolescent population.
I haven't seen the data, but I do know that the Johnson County Suicide Prevention Coalition is very active in distributing gun locks, and those gun locks are free to any family who wants them. If a family has a firearm at home and they have children at home, we would suggest that they are either locked in a gun safe or have the gun locks, which again, you can get through the Johnson County Mental Health Center, and they have those free at the front desk. And you don't even have to talk to anybody. You can walk in, grab one, and walk out. We talk to our parents about suicide-proofing their homes whenever you have young children or teens because of the impulsivity of our students. And because we know that within 5 minutes of onset, some of our students do go ahead and act on those impulsive thoughts. So that not only includes firearms, but any kind of medication and anything that a student might have access to where they could carry out self-harm.
I'm wondering what your old system was when it came to dealing with teen suicide, Angie. What did you used to do?
We did a lot of social-emotional learning, and we, through our health curriculum and through our school counselor curriculum, we addressed it. This is the first year, though, that we have just really hit it head-on, and we've hit it head-on out of need. We want to make sure that we are preventing suicide amongst our students. We knew because we had students who had died by suicide that we needed to do something different. We needed to step up. We needed to add more. And until we're at zero, we're going to continue to educate our students, our staff, and our community about it.
You know, Johnson County Mental Health has said that the teen suicide rate in the county has nearly doubled in the first 6 months of 2018. You've been surprised by that?
Yes, actually. And saddened. Every time I hear of a young person who attempts or completes suicide, it is sad that the student doesn't know that all the resources they have, that everybody wants to help. And I feel like as a community, we're starting to talk about it more. So I'm looking for those rates to go down. So I was a little surprised by those numbers.
You know, high schoolers can be pretty mean sometimes. And, you know, for those who seek, you know, help as a result of the program, how do you ultimately ensure their privacy here, Angie?
We do our very best to ensure privacy, and we talk to our kids about it's okay to reach out for help, and we try to reduce the stigma. But students can go to their counseling offices at any of the high schools. They can walk in. They are very private places. Their teachers are not informed that they have gone there. Anything that they say to a school counselor is confidential unless they share that they are going to harm themselves or others. And then, at that point in time, we have to get a parent involved.
What are the before you go, what are the warning signs of teen suicide? What should people be on the lookout for?
Pervasive sadness over a period of time mm-hmm. is something that we would need to look for. We would need to look for students who are sleeping too much or sleeping too little. We need to look for students who are potentially talking about hopelessness and not wanting to go on. Students talking about not being here in a future time.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially students giving away things or having somebody else take appointments for them in the future. Those are all things that we can look for.
And where can people call to get help?
They can call their school. They can call Johnson County Mental Health, or they can call the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. The National Suicide Prevention Hotline is answered locally, and resources are local as well.
Okay, that's Angie Saliva. She's counseling coordinator for the Olathe School System, talking to us about the new program to deal with teen suicide out there. Thanks very much for the update.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Time for a break. When we come back, we'll talk about a new golf course in the inner city. I'm Steve Kraske, and you're listening to Up to Date on 89.3 KCUR. And welcome back. I'm Steve Kraske. The effects of opioid abuse have ravaged some Missouri communities. Yesterday on the show, we spoke with an advocate and recovering addict on changing the focus to find a solution. You can hear that and other previous episodes, including our conversation yesterday with Doris Kearns Goodwin, the Pulitzer Prize-winning historian, at kcur.org/uptodate. Tomorrow, we speak with Kansas City Public Library leadership about a proposed 8-cent increase in its operating levy. Voters will approve or deny the tax increase on November 6. We'll find out what it could mean for library services. That's tomorrow on KCUR's Up to Date. Well, Chris Harris has done something that nobody ever thought would happen on Kansas City's east side, and that's build a golf course. But that's exactly what Harris has done over at 40th and Wayne. This is not a full-fledged 18-hole course. Rather, it's called a pitch and putt, and the idea is to give east side kids a taste of the game. That's exactly what Chris Harris has done, and he's here now to tell us about it. Welcome. So good to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you all.
A golf course in the inner city, Chris, what in the world were you thinking?
You know, I just wanted to use that catalyst to pretty much clean up the neighborhood and use sports as a catalyst to bring people into the neighborhood, clean up the neighborhood, and teach the basis of life through sports.
So it wasn't really necessarily about golf.
Actually, it was in a sense, because golf was I like to say the neighborhood is a golf desert. And I wanted to bring the opportunity.
We have food deserts. Now we have a golf desert.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. I wanted to bring that opportunity for our kids to be able to play the game of golf, as well as the adults to play the game of golf. I wanted the game of golf to be accessible to the kids and the adults in the neighborhood.
Has the thing opened up now? Is it open for business?
We haven't opened it up, but it's actually ready to go. We're getting the grass catching like it's supposed to be. It's just beautiful. We just got to get our time set. I know First Tee is going to teach the kids, and we're probably going to open up sometime this month for First Tee to start teaching the kids.
It's going to get cold pretty soon.
So yeah,
get it opened up pretty soon.
Absolutely. We probably go about 4 weeks just to get the kids actually going this year. We really want to get the kids out there playing this year.
They must be pestering you like crazy. Like, when can we use the course,
right?
They want to get out there and try it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I just got to get my time set. We literally just finished laying the grass probably about a week and a half, well, maybe 3 weeks, a month ago or something like that. But we're just making sure the grass catch and everything catches, and it's growing and it's looking really good.
This is your neighborhood.
Yes.
You grew up there, right?
Yes.
So you have a vested stake in sort of what happens where you're living.
Kind of a long story here, but I actually started putting this on paper in 94. I actually started putting things down on paper.
That's more than 20 years ago.
Absolutely. In 98, it actually built the first basketball court, I believe, in 98, 99. And I just started cleaning up the neighborhood, cleaning up blighted lots, tearing down houses, and just cleaning up our neighborhood.
Why'd you want to do it?
You know, it was a lot.
A lot of people say it, but you don't actually go out and do it.
You know, it was a lot of blighted land. And as I was growing up a kid, I think it got installed in me at a very early age. I didn't understand why so much land was blighted, why it was so many abandoned houses. And when I became 24, I just started doing a little research, and I found out that I could actually purchase this land and clean it up. So I just started purchasing land. I bought a saw from Home Depot on the clearance rack for $60, start cutting down trees and cutting grass and picking up trash. And I have been doing that for over 20 some years now.
So this is something like a field of dreams.
You know, I think it was just something that I had to do. I think it was just embedded into me to try to clean up the neighborhood, use sports as a catalyst to bring people in, and teach the basis of life. So basically, to me, it was just something that I was really passionate about. I love sports. I seen all this blighted land, and I thought that I could make best use of all of it.
Hmm. So this is more than a golf course. In fact, you started off with a basketball court there.
Yes.
Describe it to us.
You know, we have right now we have 5 basketball goals. I'm actually in the process of putting one up. And basically, I just started teaching the basis of life through basketball. All kids can't play basketball. So I did volleyball. Then I put in the miniature golf, got a running track, got a play area for kids.
A track, too.
Yeah.
Like a cinder track, or what kind of track is it?
Quarter mile track around, 4 times around, get that mile. We actually need to redo that, and we're definitely going to redo that as well. But then I start partnering with Truman Medical Center. So as of right now today, Truman Medical Center is actually doing all our health components. So when we do a big picnic or something of the sort, they're bring the people in, Truman Medical Center will be there, and they will be educating our community.
Huh. How many kids are showing up for the basketball?
Wow. You know, we haven't ran our tournaments in a couple years here, but it's amazing of all the people that turned out for our basketball tournaments. Right now, we've
been... And to show up to play for fun, too?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We used to have 10 teams. 10 teams, kids to a team, and 10 teams with 10 to a team.
What happened to it?
We just went on as development went on. We're starting development. Of course, money came into play. So we had to retool things. We had to retool and redevelop the whole overall plan, but our numbers are still outstanding. We just did a event probably about last month, and we probably did about 3,000 to 4,000 people. So our numbers are still outstanding.
Chris Harris is my guest. He's built a golf course, a pitch and putt course in the inner city over at 40th and Wayne. You know, you've mentioned a couple times here this morning already, Chris, this notion that this is about more than just sports. You want to teach kids life lessons. I'm wondering, how are you doing that, and what lessons do you want to teach them?
Well, the lesson in itself, the park in itself is a lesson, because you take blighted land, and you just simply clean it up. Mm-hmm. And in my vision, we don't have to live in our neighborhood with blighted land, because the land is affordable. If you live next to a lot, buy it, cut the grass, make your yard bigger, your property value goes up. Mm-hmm. It's just a very simple concept that we have the power to change the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And it's not just through me. I want to live for an example and show everyone else that these things can be done, and you don't have to have a lot of money to do it.
How much were some of these lots? What did they cost?
When I first started buying the lots, I was buying lots for probably $200.
Wow.
$50.
And what lessons do you want to impart? What do these kids need to know that maybe they're not picking up elsewhere?
They can do it.
I mean, that they can do it themselves.
They can do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for a pair of Jordans, for a pair of shoes, you can own a lot.
That's amazing.
You can actually help clean up your neighborhood. That, you know, as I got up every morning as a kid, I played out in the street, and there was just a abandoned houses. It was trash. It was tires. And it just something installed in me. It's like, I wonder if I could help clean this up. And then when I came of age, I'm like, that lot is $50 and I have a lawnmower.
Huh. That's
that,
amazing.
That was it. It was a simple concept.
So over there, I've seen video of it. Over at 40th and Wayne, how many homes, how many lots did you actually buy around the area?
Wow, that's a good question. I think I have probably about 35 or 40 lots.
Wow, yeah. Wow. And it's all on one block?
Yes, and I own the east side and the west side, and I own the corner lots on 39th Street and the corner lots on 41st and Wayne as well. And I purchased those because I knew I was going to have a lot of kids, and I was trying to make sure that no one could build there and interact with it, you know, kind of come butt heads with the kids when they're doing whatever it is that they like to do.
So the basketball courts and the pitch and putt, that's all in the backyards of these houses?
No, actually, there's no houses on the block. The house.
I mean, that's what would have been the backyard.
Yes, yes, yeah. The backyard and the front yard. So we just bought the whole thing. There's only one house left on the block, which is mine, my childhood house where I actually still live. And if things keep going like they're supposed to go, we probably will be tearing that house down in the next 3 to 6 months.
Well, that'd be kind of hard to do, though, wouldn't it?
You know, it's just time. I think in the neighborhood, we have a lot of older houses. The house is probably 100 years old. And I would like to leave my kids something that's a little new and modern, you know. When my time comes, I'd like to leave my kids something new and modern. So hopefully I'm going to have the opportunity to get a newer house for myself, and then I can pass that on to the generation of my kids.
Well, do you want to live nearby?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I have always thought that. I have a lot of friends. I have been blessed to have a lot of friends, and all my friends kind of left the neighborhood. And that kind of, if all the people that I know that had the finances and the education to help clean up the neighborhood, if all of us leave, how does that help our neighborhood? So my thoughts is if I have the education and I have the know-how and the willpower to do it, I think I should stay there and try to use what I have to clean up the neighborhood, as well as continually tapping my friends on the shoulder, telling them to come over here and help me clean this neighborhood.
I was going to say, have you tapped them on the shoulder?
Absolutely.
What do they say to you?
They come right back and help.
They pitch in.
Yep, definitely, yeah. Do.
Well, what do the kids think of all this?
You know,
you must be like the Pied Piper in this neighborhood.
You know, I stay pretty quiet, and I just go out there and I sit down. I think a lot of times when I'm out there sitting down on the bleachers, I don't even think a lot of people. I think a lot of people do know, but I don't think a lot of people that come over even know that I own it. I just go out there and sit down on the bench. I cut the grass. I pick up the trash, and I just sit back and listen. And a lot of times they tell me exactly what they want, exactly what they need, and I'll just go out and get it by just sitting there listening.
No kidding.
Yeah.
What do the neighbors think of all this?
You know, everything is good. I don't have any complaints. I don't have anyone knocking on my door. I'm right there every day. I don't have anyone complaining, and I think everyone loves what's going on. It's just a beautiful sight to ride down there and see white bunkers on 40th and Wayne.
Oh, white bunkers being?
In the golf course.
In the golf course.
Yes.
The sand traps, you're
yes,
saying.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. When you first began doing this, were people confused? Were they wondering what you're up to?
Suspicious? They always thought that, people always told me that it wouldn't be possible. But they told me it wasn't possible for me to win the championship in Penn Valley. I never listened to any of that. I just go out and put my mind to it and make it happen. I've been an underdog since I left Penn Valley, and I still say I'm an underdog, and I still keep trying to accomplish my goals. For me, there's no fail. I'm just going to give you what I have. If I build it, that's great. If I don't build it, that's great. I like to the lesson I learned from basketball. If I take that last shot and I miss it, I really didn't care. And if I make that last shot, I really don't care. It's just a game. And that's just the way I approach anything that I accomplish. I'm going to give you all I have. And whatever the results are, that's what they are. And I have no ill feeling or no happy feeling about either one of them. I'm just going to continue living my life and doing the best that I can do.
You were quite a basketball player at one point in your life. Are you still?
I still play one-on-one.
Can I take you?
One-on-one, I doubt it. I ain't lost one-on-one in a while.
I got two new hips, so that's not gonna happen. But tell us what you did at Penn Valley.
In Penn Valley in 1996, we won the championship. How this started was I was playing in night hoops at the Marist Night Hoops at Central High School. Mm-hmm. And we always met up with Penn Valley. And I think I gave them the business. And then one year, the coach just asked me, he said, hey, would you like to go back to school and we'll give you a scholarship? So I got the scholarship. I got the first scholarship out of the Night Hoops program. And I got that opportunity to go play. I had no idea about college. I just went just simply to play basketball. And that's what I did. And then we ended up winning the national championship in 96.
For community colleges,
yes,
right?
Yeah. Yes.
And then what happened after you left Penn Valley?
I left there and went to Cardinal Stritch University in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Played two years there. And then after I finished there, I start coaching with the Kansas City Knights here in Kansas City, Missouri, and stayed with them for a while.
You got to know a lot of important people in sports.
Absolutely.
Kevin Pritchard being one of them, the former KU player who has some big ties in professional sports.
Scott Wedman.
How has that helped you navigate this inner city dream of yours?
It just made me know that anything that I put my mind to is doable. Just watching Kevin Pritchard win the championship, I was actually there, and it was almost like deja vu, because when I won the championship at Penn Valley, and then I was there when Kevin Pritchard was the coach, and I started seeing, it was like, whoa, I've seen this before. And it just kept happening. It kept happening. I was like, we could win another championship here in 2001. And then I seen that formula. And then I started understanding that, hey, once these big guys get this formula, if anybody start messing with that recipe, they attack it.
Mm-hmm.
I took that same recipe and I applied it in the community.
And the community has sort of come in and helped you financially.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit more about that, too.
Frank Kurt, they call him Mr. KC in the golf community. I mean, he knows any and everyone, and he is making a lot of phone calls, setting up a lot of meetings for me. He has really took me under his wing, and he's teaching me so much. I just like to watch and listen to him. Because the things that he does and the way he operates is I'm just mimicking what he's doing, and he's been successful. So I don't think there's no reason for me to try to create the wheel. I'm just going to keep listening, following his direction, adding my little flavor in it as well, and continue being myself.
How much did all this cost to do the golf course and the basketball court?
Man, I would say right now with the golf course, to finish everything, it probably will cost about $600,000 to finish everything.
And do you have that money in hand?
We don't have it all in hand.
Listeners out there want to pitch in,
yes,
maybe they might be inclined to do so.
Absolutely. We don't have it all in hand, but I would say we're halfway there. So we're halfway there. And actually, we have already completed the first phase of the golf course. Got to tear down the house and start on the second phase of the golf course. So we don't have all the money yet, but I think we're halfway there. So we're definitely looking for anyone that will like to help us out to make this goal come true for the community.
You know, at the end of the day, what do you want this to be? I mean, how much interaction, if you look out at this field, the golf course, basketball courts, what do you want to see?
What I want to see is just the change in the mindset, and that's what's happening. When people come over into the neighborhood and they see basketball, they see beautiful green space.
People are shocked.
Golf, they're like, whoa. So it's like their mindset of East of Truce.
Right.
This ain't going with their eyes and their mind is not connecting. So it's actually literally changing the mindset of the people throughout Kansas City once they come over and see what's being happening. And it's also giving so many people East of Truth, giving them ideals, and it's encouraging them, and it's changing their mindset. And there's so many people come to me like, hey, I want to do a flower shop. I have no idea about flowers. But in my mind, it's like, hey, if this thing encourages you, make it happen. Because if I can do this, you can do a flower shop. So I get so many people coming to me that this thing has inspired. So basically, I just want to continue inspiring people and helping people reach their dreams, being a, a platform to help everyone else to see that they can accomplish their dreams just like I do.
Will all of this is in this complex, will it all become part of the city's Parks Department, or are you going to keep it private?
I'm going to keep it private, but open to the public. I'm going to keep it private, open to the public. I truly believe that I could reach a lot of people doing what I'm doing and not tying my hands up. That's what I would say.
Yeah, not getting involved with the city, just doing it on your own.
Yes, nothing bad to say about the city, but just continuing to open these doors without a lot of red tape, I would say.
What's next after this? Once you get the golf course done, do you have another part of the city you're going to target, or what are you gonna, what's next?
You know, I have a lot of people reaching out to me that has land, and what I'm doing is, it's funny, I joined a Corvette Club. joined the Corvette Club, which is the Vet Riders of Kansas City. And then I start going around to all these different shows. So now we are partnering with Corvette Club in Chicago. We're partnering with the Corvette Club in, Memphis?
To do what?
In Milwaukee. I'm using this same platform here in Kansas City to show them how to do it in their neighborhoods throughout Kansas City. So with the Corvette Club, I'm bringing more people in. I have access to reach a lot of people that has a little money. And I'm just using this format to have them to do it in different states. So in my mind, I think this could be done in every state, in every urban state around America.
And the message here is, you can have a golf course even in the inner city. That's a pretty strong statement. A lot of folks might wonder how strong, but it's pretty significant, isn't it?
Absolutely. And what's good about it is this, that I get that question all the time when I'm talking to people around the world. And when they come and see it, it's like, whoa, you can have it. Yeah. And we have the blighted land. I mean, the land is there. Everywhere you go in urban core, there is blighted land.
Well, it's at 40th and Wayne, right?
Yes.
People can go take a look for themselves. If they want to pitch in and help, how can they connect?
You can go to harrissportskc.org and go to the donation page, and you can definitely help out there.
You're an amazing guy.
I appreciate that.
I'm really glad
you
came in. This is just incredible to me.
Yeah, thank you. It's just all about cleaning up. Just think about it. It started with a $60 saw and a push lawnmower, and that's how this started.
And your daughter said you used to tear down the trees yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's incredible. Chris Harris talking about his golf course in the city's inner city here. Thanks so much for coming in. Sure appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Tomorrow, the Kansas City Public Library is asking the voters for support with a bigger tax burden. We'll find out why. Our show is produced by Danny Alexander, Luke Martin, and Emily Reed. I'm Steve Kraske, and you are up to date.